Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Hey, how many brought your Bibles? Come on, raise it up if you have a Bible. I want to encourage you, keep bringing these Bibles. It's so good. I believe in 2026, we're just going to have a greater love for the Word. You got a Bible, sir? And how many have a notepad to take notes in? Perfect. If you don't, I encourage you to bring it in. This is a series that we're just starting today, although I've alluded to it a few times, called The Way of Life, An Ancient Path to Life in Christ. And, you know, we started talking about this, like I said, a few weeks back. I want to say right now, there is a lot of noise in this world. How many agree? Like, there's a lot of noise. Like, if you turn on the news, you turn on Facebook, you turn on anything, it just seems like noise or things from all corners of the earth right now are bombarding us. And on top of that, we also have opinions and we have thoughts and what should be happening. And I am on a mission to say, Lord, I want to get back to walk. That we can't do it now, that would negate everything that happened in the early church when they were being horrifically persecuted. So if they could find a way to live a life full of joy and a life full of peace in a season way worse than ours, I think we can too, amen? How many agree? Yes? Awesome. I want to start with a story. Krista, I don't think I've shared this. If I have, oh well. Krista and I and my son and his friend, we were traveling before Christmas, and we had to get to Toronto. Our plan was to originally leave after work, and then we just kept watching the potential for snow. And I'll tell you, man, that 401 corridor has been pretty brutal in the last, 2 months. So we watched the weather, and we're like, we have got to get out of here. So I called them all. I said, let's pack quickly, and let's go, because I want to get to our hotel. We were flying out at 3 in the afternoon. Oh, we weren't even going to originally get a hotel, I don't think. We were watching all this happen. And so we said, let's get to Toronto and so we can be good. You ever had that where you're like, let's just get to where we're going and hunker down. So we're driving, and actually the roads were great. A little bit in London, we get past London, and I've got my GPS on. I like to use my in-car GPS or my phone, right? And for me, it's like, I know where I'm going. I know my destination, but I still would love to just make sure there's no accidents. And so we're driving and it's telling me that we're going to get there. I think it was at 10 o'clock. And it was interesting because I was still driving, but the time wasn't changing. And that was kind of my first signal that maybe something's up. I'm driving, but it still says, oh no, it was getting later. That's what it was. It was getting later. And then this really interesting thing happened in Woodstock that it started to tell me to go on to the 403. Now I'm going to Toronto, I'm going to the airport, and it's telling me get off on the 403. I'm like, Krista's trying to push buttons and we're trying to recalculate ourselves, and it's telling us 403, 403, 403. And then I pass the 403 and it does, what does it do? Recalculating to the next exit, get off, 403. We're like, I know the way. I know where I'm going. I do not need to get off. So we drive again. It does it one more time. Recalculating, get off, get off. I know the way. I know what I'm doing. It was only a short time later we saw, almost literally, it felt like an epic over the hill. And then when you see all the brake lights, and you're like, oh no. Should have got off. And we see the brake lights, and we, you know, you come to a stop, and you realize as we're looking, now that's the wonderful thing about Google, right? You can begin to find out, or it's like, oh, there could be something up ahead, and there are no more exits to get off. I still remember, too, I was thinking about this morning, where the flow was still going on the 401, and very few were getting off. I don't know if anybody else had their GPS on. Maybe those are the ones that got off, but the main flow just headed right into it. And then we were stuck for 8 hours. And we're just sitting there, and it is blowing snow, and it is cold. And I was thankful that I had a full tank of gas because I was keeping that car on, then I'd shut it off and keep it on. But you would be amazed. I'm sure you've experienced how slow time goes when you want it to go fast. And, you know, we're trying to listen to Christmas music and hark the... And everything is just slow and we're trying to sleep. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I said, did you come for coffee? Do you have our order? But he had better news. He said, we're about to get going. And so we finally, you know, at 6:30, finally to pull out, and we went slow. We got to our hotel room. It was supposed to be 10 o'clock at night. We got to the hotel room at 8 o'clock in the morning. We slept for 4 hours, got on a plane, and went. It's interesting that I knew the way, so I thought. Right? I knew the way to get there, and it's interesting that I wasn't necessarily lost by any means, but I hadn't listened, and I should have gotten off. Now, I want to talk to us about this way of life, and it's interesting that throughout the Bible, if you've ever noticed, it's not overly complicated. It seems complicated, but really, from the beginning to the end and all the way through, they always compare two choices, two choices. In Deuteronomy, it says, the way of life or the way of death. Choose life. Two choices. In other places, it says either wise or foolish. Two choices. And I want to set this as a foundation of our series because I do not want ever to go into another realm and accidentally get you into another choice that you didn't mean to get to. I want to bring it right back to the choice and what that looks like. We good with that? Turn with me to Jeremiah. I want to start with just a sad scripture. It is. You'll see why it's sad. And it is Jeremiah 6:16. Oh, I love to hear new pages flipping or pages flipping. Jeremiah 6:16. If you're there, say there. Wow, you guys are quick. You have phones, all right. Jeremiah 6:16. It says, thus saith the Lord. That's pretty important. Thus saith the Lord. It says, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. This is the sad part. But they said, we will not walk in it. We will not walk in it. Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. I can only imagine as parents, you know, we have, you know, you kids get to an age where you really don't tell them what to do anymore, right? They're adults. You encourage them. You share with them the wisdom that you've obtained over your own mistakes and, you know, wisdom from your parents and so on. But all you can do is say, hey, this is a better way, but you do have to make a choice. And it's heartbreaking if you've ever been a parent where you see your child make the choice that you're like, oh, that's gonna hurt, right? I remember telling a young person, I was a youth pastor, I said, listen, you know, I know you want to not go to school anymore, and I see you determining your life here, but I said, just do me one favor. Don't go out and buy a really expensive car just because you think you have freedom. And they did the thing that I said, don't do. And that began debt for a long time. And so it's heartbreaking when you see this happen. How much more for our Creator when he says, hey, there's a way to walk and there's a path to walk in it. And you will find, this is good news, you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we're not gonna walk in it. We're not gonna walk in it. And you'll see throughout the scriptures, there's this common theme. Man thinks they know more than God. Men sometimes do it at home. We think we know more than our wives. There was a pretty exuberant laugh there. Turn to Genesis. We always go to Genesis. We love Genesis. Turn to Genesis 2. I confess to you as a family, I haven't done this so well in the sense that I've gotten caught up in the noise too. So I'm on a journey with you. I want you to know I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. I'm preaching the very thing that I'm like, Lord, I got to get out of the noise because I'm drowning in this noise. And it's sucking the life out. And I know that there's an ancient pathway. And I don't want to be in like Jeremiah where he says, hey, walk in this way. And I'm like, I even preach it, but I don't walk in it. Because there is rest for your soul. And if we're not finding rest for our soul, wherever we look and however we go about it, then we're most likely not unsaved on a path that's leading us in the wrong direction. In Genesis, once again, two choices. It said the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man. This is Genesis 2, verse 8. My apologies. And he put the man he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're going to begin to see a pattern everywhere we talk about this. It's the way of life. It's the tree of life. It's a path of life. And he's not talking in all these passages. It's never about I'm alive or dead. It's a spiritual, it's a peace, it's a joy that comes alive in us when we follow. And then it goes on in verse 15, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you will surely die. And then one more verse just to add this in for future reference. And the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. Put in a garden with two choices. Sometimes you're like, Adam, like it really wasn't that hard. Like two choices. It was the woman. Oh, come on. Co-laborers together. Two choices. One that you could partake of every day and have life literally come into you. Rest and peace and joy. And one, and this is what I want you to get out of today, this is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's self-autonomy. It's, I will make choices on my own. It's, I'm going down the 401 and it says go 403. And I'm like, no, I know the way. That's what that is. I know better than my GPS because I've been this way. How'd that work for me? 8 hours in a vehicle sucked. But so does making choices in life when the Lord's saying, veer. And we say, but I like it this way. And he says, veer. And he says it in big, bold letters. Rerouting, rerouting. And we choose not to. And I have found myself lately, you know, we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I am notorious for this. I've shared this many times. I want to know. Anybody else like to know? I want to know things. I want answers. I want to discover and have the answers to all the world problems. I know more from my little pedestal in my living room. I can figure out all the world's problems. Why doesn't everybody call me? Speed line to all the world leaders. And here's the reality. You can never get enough information to ever know. And that is when we try to figure things out. And okay, that's in the world realm. What about when we don't understand what's going on in our life and we want to know? A situation happens. I want to know, God, why not? I am notorious for that. Why didn't so-and-so get healed? Why didn't this happen? Why are we not where we thought we would be? I want to know. The Lord's like, you can eat of that tree all day long, but I'm telling you right now, it's not going to bring you peace. It's not going to bring you life. It's certainly not going to bring you hope. So we have a story that begins, Adam and Eve get ejected out of the garden, and we begin this journey. And one of the things I want to make you aware of is how relational God is from the very first beginning of the Bible to the very end chapters. Because did you know that it begins in a garden and it ends in a garden? And Jesus wants to walk with us all the way through. What I want you to know as we go through this series, and I'm going to tell you right now, we are not talking about if you do so, and this and that, and you do it perfectly, you are walking in the way. See, that's called the old covenant, and they tried to give all these rules and all these things and said, walk in this way, and you will walk perfectly. And God knew right up front it was impossible, but he was trying to get them on a path to get them closer. So when he says in Jeremiah, walk in the way, the old pathway, it really was a covenant of rules. Not bad rules, but it was a covenant of rules. And he said, hey, this is it. It would be like a map. Here's your map. Walk in it. You want to go from A to B? Here's your map. And because of our self-rule and our self-autonomy and our stubbornness and our willingness to do it our own way over and over and over again, they wandered and they went a separate way. Over and over and over again. Turn to Psalms. This is one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 25. Just a glimpse of a man called David. In Psalm 25, this is a psalm of David. And David, it says in verse 4, and he's crying out, God, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Show me your ways, O God. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And that is my cry. It has been, and I feel like I've been on a journey for a long time, but I'm still saying, Lord, show me your way. Show me your path. Show me your truth. I want to do a little side note here. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it. There's a lot going on in the Christian realm. If you are on media or anything, especially media, it's amazing how quickly people pick up rocks and are throwing rocks right now at ministries and different things. But I will say this, one thing we need to remember is that David is an adulterer and a murderer. And yet at some point, they never said, hey, you know what? David really messed it up. Let's throw out the Psalms. Let's throw this out. And we have to be very careful because sometimes we'll find out somebody was like totally off track. Yeah, maybe their book is not good to read. But sometimes somebody makes an error in their life or a judgment and we feel the need, we got to throw out anything they've ever said. That's bad. Because there are wisdom coming out of people. Listen, you could be with somebody that is behind the scenes pretty evil, and they still carry some things that they say, and you're like, that's pretty wise. But these people follow the Lord, and David is one of them where we would have to throw out everything that he ever spoke, and yet he was a man after God's heart. Does it make it okay? Absolutely not. God was not happy that he was a murderer and an adulterer. And it's interesting because one of the things that's being thrown out, and I'm not going into detail. If you don't know, that's great, and don't leave it. Just don't go searching for the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. But people are saying, well, they should have known, they should have done something. Did you know that David only said something when the prophet exposed it? We read those stories, we're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Sometimes it happens in real time, real life. We are messy humans, by the way. Raise your hand if you're a messy human. Every hand should be up because we all have messes. We all create messes, and that's just the way it is. Turn now to Matthew with me, please. This is the crux, the story. Let's go to first. We'll just go Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 13. You know, in this room are so many seasoned people, and I often try to find a way to bridge both seasoned and unseasoned, but I believe in this hour that we can all fall prey to listening to the noise and biting of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil more than we are the tree of life. Seasoned and unseasoned. And I, like I said, I'm setting this as a foundation because from here on in, if we talk about the way, it would be so easy to fall back into the old covenant, the first half of the Bible, or the majority of the Bible, where we begin to think the way is a set, if I only did 1 to 10, my life would be perfect. And it's not, it doesn't work that way. Because you have a man that comes on the scene and he was the Word and he was with God, John talks about. And he is the spoken Word of God. And he comes on the scene and he says this thing. He says, hey, I am the way. That's interesting because it was a way which was a covenant, and it had all these rules to it. And he walks up and he says, no, I am the way. Talk about a game changer. This is what it looks like. If somebody comes up to me and they're like, I have to go through this forest. And, you know, it's kind of dark and it's kind of difficult and it's dangerous. And there's a lot of hidden traps potentially in it. And I say, okay, here's the map from A to B. You can do it. That's great. You know, I got a map now to get through this woods. But here's a reality. What if he has a broken leg? What if he is so traumatized in life that it's going to be difficult to read this map? What if he can't read a map? What if it's just a struggle to go through, and instead of giving, here's the map, the guide says, you don't have to worry because I'm going to walk with you through this. See, they were trying to take a covenant with the rules, and only the prophets heard God and try to navigate. And throughout this whole story, that's why it's important to know it, they messed it up. Over and over again. Now Jesus comes on the scene. He's like, you're going to have a map, and it's actually going to have two things to it, by the way, two commandments now. I'm giving you a new covenant. But here's the cool thing is, you don't need the way because I am the way. And I want to walk with you wherever you go. And I want you to begin to attune your voice to me so you can hear me and begin to navigate life better. So it's like that GPS that was telling me to reroute, but I didn't, because we get to Matthew 7. Why didn't I? It says, Matthew 7, verse 13 says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know, I used to read that scripture and think, man, oh, I'm not obeying all the rules. It is so difficult. I can't do this. That's why Jesus came on the scene. He said, I know. You can't without me. And that narrow way, you know what that narrow way is? It's the same thing right back in the garden again. You've got two trees. Are you going to do it your way, or are you going to connect with me and walk with me? And we as humans have a tendency to think that we always know more than God. We think that we can figure this out on our own, and it's independence, it's self-autonomy, it's I can do this. And Jesus is like, there is a way that leads to life, and it is narrow, and you're going to have to choose me. And so many people in Christianity, we choose all these things and Jesus. I see it all the time. It's like going, you know, the shareable restaurant I mentioned a few weeks back with Drew and Neil. I want some of that, and I want some of this, and I want some of that, and Jesus looks good too. I'll put him here. And so we're eating all the other food and taking a little bit of Jesus when it works for us, and eating some more food over here, and now we're getting cramps, and well, I'll try a little bit of Jesus again. And Jesus is like, no, I got to be the way. I have to be the way. It's not all these other things. It's like other religions where they have multiple gods. And the difficult thing is when they think it's okay to have him as 101, and Jesus is like, no, I am the only way. But I don't want to give up all these things. No, I'm the way. And you're going to find way more life with it. But no, I really like these things. Now, when I say these things, our minds automatically go to, well, I can't do this anymore. I can't do that anymore. Stop that. Now, there will be some things that God says, no, you can't do that anymore. But we immediately go back to a list. Well, if I don't do any of these things, I'm walking in the way. He's like, no, just walk with me. I'm going to walk with you. But I can't just be one of. I have to be the way. Because it's narrow. I take you back to my analogy. When it was saying the 403, it's a perfect, you've seen it probably on a poster in the olden days, that road where everybody's walking down, and then you have the path of Jesus. There's only a few people. That was my trip. Look, we're going down the 401 with everybody else. It's okay. We're going with everybody else, and they're getting off. And my Holy Spirit GPS is telling me to get off. I'm like, no, I know. I know what I'm doing. And now I don't. And now I'm stuck. And now it's difficult. And now I was cold. Turn a few more chapters over to Matthew still. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Interesting now what it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wait a minute, you just said it was narrow and difficult. Now you're saying it's easy and light. Which one is it? Yes. Well, how can it be both? Yes. Because he says, when you choose me and make me Lord and Savior of your life, I'm not going to put all those difficult things back on you that they couldn't even follow. I'm going to walk with you through these things. And it's going to be easy and light. It doesn't mean life will become perfect, but a grace will be put on your life as you walk through these things. And we know this because turn with me to one more scripture here. Turn with me to John. I love John. I love both books in John and then the first, second, third John, but I love finding out backstories. And when you look at John 1, and he's going to say some things, until recently I didn't realize that John's just, sometimes we think they're just writing words, but he is actually, he is speaking to a Jewish culture, and he's saying, listen, I need you to understand something. He says, John 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning. So a Jewish culture would go, oh, we're going back to the beginning. They would think Genesis. We have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Interesting. He's not just saying, hey, we saw him, we know him. He is actually speaking to a Jewish culture, and he is a lawyer basically saying, listen, we have witness. We saw him, we heard him, we touched him. And so he's making a case going, I'm not just making this stuff up. This is real. We heard, we saw, we touched. And those were the three things that they needed to hear in the Jewish culture, in the Torah, to go, oh, this is real. Not just, well, I had a dream. Nope. We heard, we saw, we touched. And then he says, the word of life. The word of life, it says, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness, and declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Did you catch that? What was manifested? Eternal life. Wait a minute, I thought eternal life was when you die. No. Yes. No. It's both. But what they're basically saying is, no, that life that's eternal that you will one day enjoy, it was actually came alive on earth. And it was represented by Jesus. And if you follow him, you actually get to partake of life. Yeah, but I want Jesus and all this other stuff. We need to choose Jesus. Then it goes back into that which we have seen and heard. We declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And I love this. This is what I wanted to get to, this line. It says, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. These things we write to you, verse 4, that your joy may be full. I've had a desire to see the church come back into joy. I'm amazed at how often, myself included, that we are so blessed and yet still walk around as believers with such little joy. And I'm saying, Lord, if this is true, that they're like, man, we wanted to share all this because we want you to have the joy that we carry. I'm like, Lord, I think I've gotten a little off path here. I want to get back to the joy. I want to get back to life. I want to get back to the things that matter. And here's the most cool thing. You know, at no point was my GPS, I think I even joked about it in the car, how funny it would be to have like a New York GPS that was telling you off basically that you made a mistake. Hey, dummy, reroute, man, get off. Maybe I would have listened a little more. But you know what? That GPS never does that. Recalculating, rerouting. Here we go. You can do it. Doesn't do that either. It just says, come on, reroute. Let's go. I'm grateful that Jesus came as the way. And if we're going to find the way of life, we need to understand that for so long, Christians have tried to just follow this perfect rule book. And he's like, you need that because that's got to be, these are things that you need to understand and do in life. But you'll never get there without me. And I'm so grateful that he doesn't, when we're off track, go, you stupid. I cannot believe you. You took the wrong route. Ha ha. Now you're stuck in traffic. He's not like that. If you read this New Testament from beginning to end, you will see a God so full of love for people, it's incredible. That's why I'm shamed when I watch and I want to solve all the problems, but when I watch fellow Christians that are mocking people. Jesus never mocked. Jesus got angry, but he never mocked people. Scriptures are popping. Well, what about this? What about that? If you look at who he's talking about, he was actually talking about the religious leaders. I'm talking about people. He loved people. He pulled people up. He pulled people that the world scorned and nobody wanted to be near them, he got near them. The broken, the lost, the hurting, the rejected. And if you look at his miracles, every miracle that he does, he's usually doing something physical in their life, and he's also restoring their identity because he wanted to do that. My child, dear woman, he would call people by names to lift them up out of it. He wouldn't shame them. He wouldn't make them feel terrible. He wouldn't say, well, if you would have went on this path the first time, we wouldn't be here today. No, he's like, recalculating. Here I am. Oh, okay. Recalculating. Here I am. Never gives up. He never quits. And the cool thing is, and I'm reminded of this lately, I think the first time I ever experienced the real truth of what I'm talking about, I was in Colorado Springs at a Tamara Winslow's Institute. And she gave us an assignment that we had to go and we had to write down whatever we found during our quiet time and bring it to the class. You want to talk about anxiety. I'm like, searching, what do I bring? She's like, no, you have to, quiet time, whatever the Lord speaks to you. Oh my gosh. What am I to preach on? I got to have a sermon. And then I remember her saying, listen, and if you sit with the Lord and he doesn't share anything with you, that's okay. Whoa, you just told me I had to bring something. I needed to bring all the notes that I have. And she's like, no, you're missing the point. I want you to just be with Jesus. And if he shares something, that's awesome. And if he doesn't, that's awesome. If you feel him, that's awesome. If you don't, that's awesome. Like, you're hurting my brain here. Like, the way is I have to bring something. So I remember the first day sitting there and so awkward. This tells you the time it was going back. I had a tape player, you know, with the headphones. So it dates me. And I remember listening to a song and something came on. And I remember for the first time feeling freedom of to going, I don't have to perform. Like, I can just be with Jesus. And I remember literally just sitting there and like relaxing into the chair. I was outside, I could see the mountains. I'm like, oh. So I went in the next day and, or that day, probably, who has something to share? And a few people shared and a bunch of people didn't. And there was no condemnation. It was like, that's okay. And I remember the next day, I'm like, I'm gonna go for a walk with Jesus. And I went for a walk. And I remember starting to go, I actually think I feel his presence with me walking. And that sounds weird, but it just felt like peace. It felt like, I think he's right with me. And we just walked. I remember coming around and I'd see the mountains and I'd just stand there like, God, you're here. And I'm amazed at how quickly we can walk back into performance instead of just resting in his presence. Because that's why he says this road is kind of narrow. It's really different than the whole world. The whole world feels like you got to run out and do. I want you to be with me and walk with me and receive me. And we just slide right back into, but I want to do. And last night, I was preparing for this. I put on my headphones. And as I was listening, I thought, oh yeah, there you are. Even in the midst of trying to get something together, just there you are. And you may have never experienced this. I remember I taught this to my kids and when I came back from school, from Tamara's school, and I was teaching it to young kids. Remember, Claude's daughter was one of them, and she got so excited to go, what does this look like? She made a little spot on her window, and she got her headphones, and she just sat there. And she just began to be in the presence of Jesus, not knowing what that even looked like. And I would hear stories of kids that were beginning to experience this. What did you experience? I felt peace, or I felt rest, or my brain calmed down. And that's walking with Jesus, not just, I got to read because I'm told to read the Bible. And the cool thing was, throughout that journey with Tamara Winslow, there would be days I would read one line and all this stuff would open up. And I'd start writing, oh my God, this is so good. And then my performance nature would kick in. I can't wait to tell everybody. And usually in a day like that, she wouldn't ask if anybody got anything. I'm like, what? That was so good. Why? It's a journey. It's no different than when I go for a walk with Krista. I'm not trying to write down everything she says so I can make sure I tell it to her later. She just gave me a funny look. We walk together. We talk together. That's why we like to get away, because it stirs our relationship. We talk about things that we're too busy to talk about here. And so when you have 10 minutes in a day to go, Lord, I'm just going to sit with you. I'm going to learn to shut my brain off. I'm going to put some worship music on and just sit with you. Maybe you'll give me a scripture to read. Maybe we'll just sit here together. That's okay. But you can begin that day by acknowledging, Lord, I am taking of all these other trees, and I confess that. I confess I'm trying to fix everything. I confess I'm trying to know everything, but I want to start eating out of the tree called the way of life. Or the Bible just says the tree of life. Or Jesus simply says the way. And did you know later on in scripture, they didn't call them Christians. You know what they call them? People of the way. And it wasn't the way of the rules. It was the way that Jesus lived and walked the earth. I want to get back to that. Wouldn't it be amazing if our church became known as people that walk like Jesus? Not people that just miracles, not people that just were really good at something. I want to, like, I would like some of that too. I want to be one of those. And yet I know I got mess in my life, but I'm on a journey. And it ain't over till I get to heaven. Probably continues. But what about you? Maybe you've never experienced that. Maybe you've been taking a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of this and a little bit of a self-help book. Maybe it's time for you to go, you know what? By the way, nothing wrong with self-help books, but when you think that's going to be your salvation, you need help. And that's the way, Jesus. And maybe it's time for you to go, I surrender, Lord. You are the way, and I want to receive that. And it's not just a prayer, although it's a confession. It's every day saying, Lord, I want to walk in the way of Jesus. And now I want to walk like Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Why don't you stand? As we close here, I want to encourage you to do something this week. I don't know what that is. Maybe for you, it's saying, I'm going to take 10 minutes a day and just actually stop. I'm going to put on worship music, and I'm just going to do what Jay said. I'm just going to sit here without any need to perform or need to have something. I'm just going to sit and welcome Jesus to be with me. And you may not feel anything, and that's okay. And you may feel something special, and that's awesome. And he may say, Psalm 25, read it, and you read it. But you just simply say, Lord, I want to learn to be with you. If you are the way, and the way is a person, I want to know that person. And you begin to let everything else go. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe for you, you begin to say, you know what, I've done that. I know that. I'm going to step to another level. I'm going to begin to increase my prayer life. I'm going to get here on Sundays, or I'm going to come out on Wednesday. I just want to encourage you to take a step forward. And if you're here and you're like, I realize I've never really given my life to the Lord, it's a great time to say, Lord, I confess I'm doing it on my own, and I need to get off. You keep saying, take the 403, but I'm taking the 401, and I keep ending up in these traffic jams for 8 hours. I need to hear your voice. And the coolest thing is, my friends, that when you're walking, because he's right beside you. If you can't keep up, you feel like you're going too fast, you can't do it, he'll be like, it's okay, I can slow down with you. We can walk. Oh, but I'm broken. That's okay, I'll carry you. I'll carry you right now. Like, he's the greatest savior we can have beside us. He doesn't just go, here's a map, good luck. He's like, I am the map. So Lord, I thank you that you are awesome. And Lord, I'll be the first to confess. I'm a pastor, but I can confess that I don't always have it together. And I still try to go to the other trees to get life. So Lord, I am probably among many who say help. Lord, may 2026 be a year that we stop eating of other trees and we begin to get closer to you. Not with a purpose behind it other than to walk with you. Not so we can get closer to get answers. Lord, then we're right back to performance and right back to the tree of knowledge. Lord, help us to walk simply with you. And then teach us as we go through the other weeks now of what it looks like to walk with you. Not doing it though from a place that we have to perform, doing it out of a place of love. So we say, help Jesus. Lord, I pray as people set their hearts to do something this week, I ask that you would begin to meet them. I pray we'd even begin to hear stories of people that, wow, I felt something for the first time in a long time or maybe ever. And you would become you would fall on us. I don't know how else to say it, but Lord, you'd begin to fall on us. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.